Well, Happy New Year. According to the Asian time, we already enter Lunar or Chinese New Year already. But today, I would like to share with you a Christmas story, kind of a little bit off. I should do it last month, right? But anyway, let me share with you actually my first trip to Disney World. I was still in high school, so way back. So my family, so it's not my current family, but my original family. My mom and dad and I have two siblings. So we five visit Orlando for Christmas, the real, you know, authentic, you know, Disney World. It was amazing to visit Disney World and Epcot Center. I don't know whether you heard about that. And on Christmas Eve, besides all the fun things, so we intentionally plan for a worship time. So we visit a local church to celebrate Christmas. I forgot already what's the name of the church. It has been many years ago. The church we picked was not very big, maybe 150 to 200 people. Although I cannot recall anything about the program, but that was one thing I would never forget. When the Christmas service finished, we were expecting, well, it is only a small church, right? It's not a mega church, like 5,000 people. Only a small church, medium size. Perhaps someone from that church would recognize the five of us, while we are pretty obvious, you know, because most of them, you know, are Caucasian at that church, right? So we probably stand out. So we're expecting that we would be recognized and as visitors. And then maybe someone would come by and say hi. So we were kind of expecting that. But for some reason, no one came. Everyone seems busy talking about Christmas with their friends, maybe their families. And at the end, the five of us, we just left the building without being greeted by a single person. I did not make up this story. That was real. So I was, I forgot most of the trip, but that evening was a little bit disappointed. And remember, right, we are at a church, not in like Midwest, no, Nebraska, you know. We are in Florida. We're in Orlando, right? We thought that we will be welcome the same way as we went to Disney World, you know, or, you know, Universal Studio. But unfortunately, it did not happen. Do you have any similar experience not being welcome? Perhaps it was your first time joining a sports team, maybe in your high school. No one say hi to you when you first joined. Perhaps it was your first week attending college or university. That campus was like 100 times bigger than your high school, and you know no one there, no one say hi to you. And perhaps it was your first time joining a church as well. Well, welcome back to the third week of our January series called Small Church. Wow, this is really small, the font here. And Big Mission. And at this series, we want to share the conviction that even though now we have only, 60-some people, less than 100, we are small in size. But doesn't mean that we cannot have a big or huge impact. Even though we are small, yeah, we can have a big impact. For the past 2 weeks, we talked a lot about transformation. For the first week, Pastor Carson shared about transformation on a more personal level. Personal level. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. So we start with discipleship, following God, the personal level of transformation. And last week, Pastor Cindy also touched on the topic of transformation, but a slightly different aspect, more a communal level. And here, besides serving, actually, we also want to share about worship, but because we only have so much time, so we kind of did not touch a lot, but actually, this is also part of our whole series. So from discipleship to serving and also to worship. And however, the result of transformation did not just stop within the four walls of our community. And for the rest of the series, we will explore how we can live out this transformation and making an impact to our community, even to the world. And tonight, we'll share focus on hospitality, and next week, about generosity. So you can see the flow, right? First, we talk about transformation from within, in also in our community, and then we think about beyond us, how we can extend God's love to people who come here, or even beyond, you know, our four walls. And as a church in Richmond, BC, right, always remember, my question is, how do we practice hospitality? How can we become a hospitable church, a friendly and welcoming church to our guests? And in a secular world, I'm sure if anyone study business, you probably heard about the term customer experience, right? We talk a lot about how we can welcome our customer. How can we make a big impact? And think about Starbucks. You know, Starbucks, I'm sure many of us like that, right? You know, just a few pictures here. You can feel that this is Starbucks. It's not Tim Hortons, right? You can tell the difference, right? Starbucks, when you go and order a cup of coffee or whatever drinks, your favorite drinks, you don't just get that a cup of liquid. You get a lot more than that, right? For example, the Starbucks experience will include, for example, when you enter, there will be music. I don't know what kind of music they play in our store, our neighborhood store, but usually that's pretty cool music, right? And think about, just look at all those color, design. It looks different from McDonald's. It looks different from Tim Hortons, right? Yeah, they have a certain kind of visual impact. I'm sure people study in Emily Carr, you can tell me more about, you know, how they make it happen. And also, the friendly staff, they always ask your name, right? And then they write your name. Usually, sometimes they spell it wrong and then write it on the cup, right? You feel that, wow, this is a little bit different. This personal touch, right, when you buy a cup of coffee. So it's a lot more than just a purchase, but an experience. And I'm sure we can learn a lot about Starbucks. How can they welcome guests? Well, I won't go into all the detail, but it's interesting. But think about that. While we can translate all these, you know, useful principle or business strategy about customer experience, we can, you know, learn a lot from them. While we can improve our guest experience at Koinonia and become maybe more intentional and making a first impression in welcoming guests, my question tonight is that, is there anything that Jesus could teach us about being hospitable in God's way? Is there anything else? If we can learn a lot about Starbucks, okay, fine. I think we can learn more, right? But besides that, what can Jesus teach us about being hospitable, being welcoming? How can we open more to our guests? So when we talk about hospitality, have you ever wondered what is at the heart of Christian hospitality? I'm sure hospitality can mean different things to different people. In different culture, you know, we all have different kind of way of extending hospitality. But how about Christian hospitality? Christian hospitality. So let's begin one of the passages in the Gospel of Luke. It's a party scene in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And right before this party, I just want to give you some background. As Jesus met one of his disciples, which is actually the author of the Gospel of Matthew, but in Luke's Gospel, it's called Levi, his other name, a tax collector at the tax booth. And after Jesus said to him, "Follow me," something happened. Levi left everything, rose and followed Jesus. I'm sure that you all heard about this little story, you know, how this tax collector become disciples, right? So the next thing Luke show us is that the party scene at chapter 5, verse 29. Levi make Jesus a great feast in his house. And besides Jesus, besides the disciples and Levi, there were also a large group of tax collectors who were invited by Levi, right? Because I'm sure that Levi have a lot of friends who work in the same professionals as become tax collectors, right? And when Jesus was having a great time socializing, I can imagine, wow, that was must be a cool party, you know, tax collectors, you know, they probably know a lot of about numbers. they probably are not boring people, you know, they probably have a lot of story to tell Jesus about how they, you know, interact and work at the tax booth, right? Something else happened while they were socializing. They were grumbling in the party. Interesting, right? While, you know, Jesus having a good time with the tax collector. Not sure why there were some people who grumble in the party. And verse 30 said, the Pharisees were questioning Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? I'm sure that if you were the first time reading this story, you were wondering, okay, what's going on here? Okay, there was Jesus, there was tax collectors, there was the Pharisees. Let me tell you a little bit about the background. In the Middle East culture, which is belonged in Jesus' time, to eat with another person signifying acceptance on a very deep level. Well, not like us, right? You know, we go to a restaurant, you know, we see people eating together. Okay, well, this is casual dining, right? But for them, if you eat with a person in the Middle East culture, this is a accepting, much deeper than that. And by eating with a person, the person is accepting that person on a very basic and a very fundamental level. So which is a little bit different from our culture and our time. So the Pharisees, the so-called the religious people, they know a lot about the Old Testament, the verses, about the culture, right? They thought that, hey, Jesus, the great teacher, right? So he should be one of us. You know, he's supposed to be the religious person, right? He teaches and he do a lot of lectures and stuff like that, right? To their surprise, at that particular party, Jesus crossed the floor. He ate with the tax collectors, the irreligious people. Surprise. You know, at that time, they didn't expect Jesus to do that. And the response of the Pharisees lead us to realize that actually, you can sense the problem there is that there's a pride among the Pharisees, which is the enemy of hospitality. So I'll give you some hint. And whenever one feels that he or she is more superior to the others, hospitality fails. There's no more hospitality there. You can see the air is kind of tight, or the grumbling, right, just happening. The pride within the Pharisees hindered them from offering hospitality to other people. So pride is the enemy of hospitality. And then you may wonder, okay, why is Jesus' response so different from the Pharisees? Is it just because Jesus is extreme extrovert, so he likes to talk to people? I don't know, among of us, right? I don't know how many of us are introvert, you know? Yeah, by nature, I don't talk to people, you know? I'm also, I think, ISTJ too, so I'm one of those introvert type, yeah. And I agree that too. But anyway, maybe you thought, okay, because Jesus is an extrovert, that's why he has no problem talking with the stranger. Well, if it is just like that, then we don't need the Bible. We just need to learn from Starbucks, or we can just learn from psychology, you know, about hospitality, right? But it seems like there are more than that. So our question tonight, let's keep on asking, is that what's special about Jesus' way of welcoming and connecting people? I'm sure we all want to learn from Jesus, right? We all learn from Jesus to be a nice person, to be a good person. But tonight, it's interesting that how Jesus connect with the tax collector. There's something I'm sure you want to ask for more. Okay, what's special that Jesus becomes so welcoming? So let's continue to explore. And from Luke 5, let's go to Luke 15. Which is also the same gospel written by Luke. We find another story with more or less the same characters. The Pharisees, the Jesus, the tax collectors again. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. Actually, you can just imagine, you know, Jesus was not one of those oh, religious person. Nobody want to touch him. You know, he is the lecturer. You know, he is the one, you know, people keep a distance. The tax collector, the sinners, they draw near to Jesus. Wow, I think that is interesting. And then, once again, the Pharisees and the scribe, they are together. The religious people, they grumble again. This man receives sinners and eat with them. So eating means more than food here. It's a connection. It's acceptance at their world, in their vocabulary. So eating is important, right? We'll talk about food later on again, so don't worry. Even though we don't have dinner tonight, but we'll talk about food a little bit tonight. The beginning of Luke 15 is almost a replica of what we just read in Luke 5, right? But this time, Jesus gave them a much longer reply. In response to the grumbling, Jesus told a parable. Through this parable, Jesus pointed out that what the Pharisees were missing. And at this familiar parable, you can expect that we are talking about the prodigal son. You know, you probably have heard it 5 times maybe since you were in Kapos. But tonight, I hope to give you a new perspective, a little bit different. I won't go to the detail, but let's jump to the homecoming scene. So from the party scene, we will go into the homecoming scene. When the youngest son came to himself, he decided to go back to his father. And he even rehearsed what to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. And in his mind, he knew that it is his only hope, not going back to enjoy, but to become a slave so that at least he won't starve to death. We all know the story too well. So he went back. And unfortunately, no one welcomed him. He begged to have a chance to see his father. He was waiting and waiting at the gate, but no one showed up. After many hours, I don't know how many hours, eventually one of the servants came out and told him, your father does not want to see you, sorry. You have brought too much shame to our family. You can imagine, right? Just go away. Go away. No more question. You don't have to ask anything. And the son probably understood. For sure, he does not deserve to be called a son again. He does not even deserve to be hired as a slave. It's too much shame already. There's no place for him in that family. If you were one of the Pharisees, if you heard what happened in this story, I'm sure you would totally agree. Yeah, that's right. This younger son, you know, he deserved this ending. You know, Daisei, you know, he deserved, right? With how this parable ends, it totally makes sense. I think the Pharisee will agree with Jesus about that. This prodigal son has gone too far. He does not deserve to have a second chance. He does not deserve to have a second chance. Hey, if you are from Kapos, you probably have questions, right? Hey, what happened? Pastor Gabriel, hey, the Bible seems to... It's not like that. It's not what Luke wrote in Luke 15, right? So let's take a look at what actual... Well, you probably know that. Jesus actually told the story. The younger son arose and came to the father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His father felt compassion. His father ran. His father embraced him and his father kissed him. And if you were one of the Pharisees, you would quickly tell Jesus, it can't happen. There's no way. Hey, Jesus, what are you talking? Okay. According to our culture, our Jewish culture, this father has broken, actually, all the tradition, being a senior, being a father. In the Middle East, a man of his age and position always walked in slow and dignified fashion. Okay, I don't know whether you agree. You know, even in Asian culture, you know, old people won't run, right? They're well respected. They will just sit and, you know, walk slowly. And the father shouldn't embrace or kiss him because he does not deserve it. The son does not deserve it. But the welcoming did not end at this verse 20. Luke 15, 22 to 23, keep on going, giving you surprises, or giving the Pharisees surprises. The father asked his servant, bring quickly the best robe, the ring, the shoe, the fattened calf, and let's celebrate. So let's unpack a little bit. Well, you probably heard about this story before, right? But let's unpack every item here has a meaning. For example, the best robe is usually the father's own finest robe. It's a symbol that the son has been fully accepted, and he is fully restored to his sonship. The ring means that is a seal of authority. The shoe, actually, only the slave doesn't wear shoe at that time. Only the son wears shoes. And also, you can see that all the thing, the calf, they don't eat that every day. You know, there's something special. So they celebrate. So while the Pharisee has problem digesting this story, I'm sure Jesus would answer, yes, this is not what you expect, because this is the heart of God the Father. This is the heart of God the Father. And this is also the reason why Jesus welcomed the tax collectors. This is the reason. The Father's heart is the essence of Christian hospitality. In my version, the heart's supposed to be in red, but somehow it turned to be black. Sorry about that. because of some, you know, transition. But this is the essence. When we talk about hospitality, it's not just because we are a nice person, because of what Starbucks teaches, not because of being extrovert, because of the Father's heart that is driving Jesus to love the sinners. And I like this photo a lot. I almost want to bring my own. I have a little replica of this. This is a famous painting. I won't go into detail, but this is a painting. A lot of story behind that. So let me share with you another time. But here, Jesus' way of hospitality reflects the Father's heart. And Jesus tonight is also calling his followers to share the Father's heart. So now you know why Jesus mentioned about this parable, right? So as we revisit this passage at the beginning again, tax collectors were drawing to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumble, right? And then they said, wow, they complain. The man receives sinners and eat with them. So even though this Pharisee seemed to know a lot about God, they were not really in touch with the heart of God. And through this parable, Jesus revealed about the heart of God the Father. He really pointed to that. So when we compare how the Father treats the Son and how the Pharisee treated the tax collectors, we see a huge difference. So now, let's step back a little bit and think about ourselves. What is our attitude when we see someone, some strangers that you don't know, coming to a church in any given Saturday evening? Perhaps your parents always remind you, don't talk to strangers. I don't know whether you have that in your family, Asian family. Or perhaps you are shy. Maybe you are saying, I'm introvert. Maybe I'm the reserved type. But for some reason, you say, I'm not the one who like to welcome people. But just imagine, this stranger you came across on any given Saturday could be another prodigal son or prodigal daughter. What if, just imagine with me for a second, what if this person, the name is called John, he might have quit a church since COVID started 3 years ago, and now John really wants to try church again this evening. What if that person is called Brenda, I hope there's no Brenda here, has almost given up on church, but on this Saturday evening, she wants to give God one more chance. One more chance. And imagine John and Brenda walk into the Orlando church. Okay, let me bring back the Orlando church again. No one say hi to them. No one welcome them. And at the end of the evening, they make up their mind. And you can imagine. I've tried, but it didn't work out. Not even one person welcomed me. And John told Brenda. So I don't think God wants me here anymore. I don't want to think about this God thing anymore in my life. Just because of this lack of hospitality. Well, there were two people, maybe they tried to go back to God, but it didn't work out. And this church might miss the chance to welcome John and welcome Brenda that evening. Jesus welcomed the tax collector. And this is the heart of Christian hospitality. So now Jesus is calling his followers to share Father's heart. So before we close, let me give you some practical ways to put this into action. And talking about guest experience, okay, we go back to this term again. Let me guide you through a few places at Fraserville, right here, that you can make a difference in welcoming people. Number one, the parking lot, the church parking. Just imagine with me again, John and Brenda, they came this evening. The first thing they saw about our church might not be Pastor Carson or Pastor Cindy, but the signs, our signs. You know that we have some new signs? We just came out last week. And also, we have some outdoor banners and with the light. All of them, just imagine if you're the first time coming here in this dark place, you know, it's getting dark pretty early, right? Those actually become the signs for the prodigal son and prodigal daughters to come to this room. Even though you might not be a talkative person, or maybe you're a bit shy, you can be part of the setup crew. Usually I do it at 4:30, so you can join me to set it up. And this is one of the way that we welcome people every Saturday night, rain or shine. Second place, pay attention, is the main entrance. I think every evening we try to make it more visible since the lighting in the parking lot is not a lot. So we add some light there and some the banners. Just imagine John and Brenda came to the building. Imagine you are the first person who welcomed them. You don't need to prepare a long speech, you know, and to talk to them. You just need to give them a welcoming smile, just like our, you know, all the guest team member. So if you want to learn and practice and try hospitality, join the guest team. Number three, the fireside room. That's where we are sitting. Just imagine John and Brandon walk into this room. They probably would be a little bit surprised. Hey, you know, I thought I'm going to the sanctuary. No, we intentionally make it a little bit different. Think about the three TV here, the way that we sit in a circle. I don't know whether you have been to other church like that. For me, it's also a new experience too, right? And you can be part of this decoration team. You know, all the light here, all the Bible, those are the props as well, right? All the little things actually can make a difference in welcoming people as well. So from the parking lot to the main entrance to the fireside room, we can practice hospitality in every step of the way. And you can be part of the experience in welcoming John and Brenda. One more. The dining table. Unfortunately, we don't have a real sample this evening. It was from last week. We have pizza, in case you missed that. Let me give you one more way. Do you know that why we start dinner? In the beginning, we didn't have that, right? But because we want, not just because we want to eat, you know, I'm sure that it could be a good reason. When people gather around food, they will start connected. We set up dinner intentionally so that we can make room for conversation, for connection. So for parents and adults, we really invite you to be part of the food serving team. And for everyone else, when you eat, make sure, next you can start, practice next week. Don't eat alone. Try to connect with people to make room for conversation, make room for connection. The Father's heart is the essence of Christian hospitality. The Father's heart is the essence of Christian hospitality. So let's stand and let's seek God in prayer and ask God to enable us to put this into practice. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this familiar story about welcoming the prodigal son. So Lord, I ask you to help us to understand your heart more, even though we have our own agenda, our ideas. But Lord, help us to fill our life with your love, the Father's love. And Lord, continue to help us to make room for hospitality right here at Fireside Room, right here at Richmond, BC. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.